Amen. God bless you. We've been doing this series called He Is, I Am. Say it with me. He is,
I am.
Say, He is,
I am.
Try again. Say, He is,
I am.
Now you got to work with me. Let's point to heaven. Say, He is,
I am.
Some of you ladies are pointing to He is. No, we're not going there. He is Jesus. Come on, somebody. I'm not talking about you marrying that person sitting in front of you, and the guys are going, who's doing that? No. He is, I am. And the reason we're talking about this and the problem we're solving in this is something I think every Christian deals with. In fact, I believe every person deals with, because every person wants something. What are you wanting right now? What is the greatest need or want that you have in front of you? Could it be, I need a healing. I need a better job. I need more money. I need peace in my life. I need a marriage, or I need some friends. I want to have a family. What is the need that you're pursuing so desperately for? God, your Heavenly Father, knows what you need of. And He wants to bring that into your life. But the struggle that we deal with is not having the need. The struggle that we deal with is getting that need met. And we'll try to be right. We'll try to do right. We'll try to have the right stuff. And somehow in the interpretation of what we hear from the Bible or from preachers and what we see, there's typically a big gap. And we start wondering, is this stuff even work? I hear Pastor Greg say that I can be healed, that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, but I'm dealing with this pain. What is wrong? And you can have two different reactions, in my opinion. The first one is you can begin to interpret the Bible by your life situation. Well, I guess God don't heal anymore because I've been dealing with this, and if He was going to heal me, He would have already healed me. I guess healing's not for today. And some people do that. It's not right, and they're just hurting themselves. Another flip side, which I encourage you to do, is say, okay, God, your word is true. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Your word is right. Your word is absolute. Jesus said, heaven and earth will fail before my word fails. Isaiah 55:11 says, God's word goes forth. It will not return void, but it'll accomplish that to which it's been assigned or sent to. So God's word will work. It works if we work it correctly. So instead of me defining and interpreting God's word by my world or my life, I need to allow my life to be interpreted by God's word. And the reality, which many of us in times of our life, we don't want to recognize, is maybe I don't have it all figured out yet. And that's okay. That's okay. Because when you get around somebody who has figured everything out, I've learned that the more I learn, there's so much more that I haven't learned. See, so when you come, I just jokingly say that when you find somebody who knows it all, they're too dumb to know that they're dumb. Come on, somebody. I said it in church. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I said, it's one of those things you just smile and they say they know it all. I say, okay, God bless you. And you just slowly, right? Because the reality is there's nobody who's perfect except for Jesus. The rest of us, we're on this journey of growing and progressing and learning. And if it's not working in your life in a certain area of your life, don't blame God and don't blame the Word. Be open for God to speak into your life and show you what I'm missing or what you're missing. David said, I'm an open book, God. Search me. If there's something that is holding back your best in my life, show me, so I can deal with it. A lot of us want to say, God, there it is. Fix the stuff. Let me know when I can come back and make it all right. No. God, if there's something in my life, if I don't get it fixed, then even if God gave it to me, I'm going to mishandle it and mess it all up. You see, the part of the process is you developing and being developed by the Word of God, so you not only receive it, but you handle it well. Have you ever seen somebody get something great but didn't handle it correctly? And later, they're worse than they were before. You think it's, you look at somebody who's struggling financially, say, I feel bad for them. You know what's worse? Winning the lottery of $150 million and then 7 years have less than they did before they won it. Now, that would just make you stay up at night. Come on, somebody. Because all they can do is dream how they lost $150 million. And then they think, if it was hard enough to win it the first time, what's the odds of winning it a second time? Come on. And they, you know, I mean, there's a, and they, history has proven that people who win the lottery are worse off in 7 years than they were before they won it. Why? Because it's not just getting more. They got more, but they couldn't handle what they had. And we're not talking about you being greedy. That messes it up. What greed is wanting something that doesn't belong to you, that somebody else has. We're talking about you having or receiving everything that your Heavenly Father has for you. If God has healing and health in your life, do you want it? Sure we do. And so in this series, we're talking, and I kind of jokingly made the metaphor, and it has stuck. It's like baking a great cake. Okay? This series is like baking a great cake. I don't know how to bake, and if I heard that you were a great baker and I came to you and said, hey, I heard you can bake an amazing cake. Give me the one ingredient that makes the thing. And you look at me and say, you know, one of the best things is getting the right sugar. That's enough. And I run home and I take a big old thing of sugar and dump it in the pan and I throw it in the oven. How many people know that I will not be enjoying a cake that afternoon, right? Why? Because I didn't get the full recipe. I just got one piece of the recipe. This series, you have to get the whole recipe. If you run out of this place with just one part of one message and say, I'm going to run with this, it probably won't work the way it should. And you won't enjoy what God has for you the way you could. Because there's more than just one piece that I can't give you everything in one setting. And so we're walking this thing out. That God has for you something that you're praying for, and you're struggling to get it. And you're like, God, why? Are you mad at me? That's not the problem. God, is it you're just trying to make it hard on me? That's not the problem. Because the truth be told, it already, are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? It already belongs to you. I'll prove it to you. The prodigal son, remember the story? He took off and left. Remember when he was coming back and the other brother said, why are you celebrating him? I haven't left. You haven't given me anything. And the father said, son, you've been with me. Don't you realize it already all belongs? Jesus said it this way. I'm the vine, you're the branches. I'm the vine, you're the branches. You know what that tells me? A branch has full access to everything that's in the vine. So if it's in the vine, it can be in the branches. If it doesn't go to the branch, that tells me something has separated it from the vine. Let me give you a third illustration to confirm that point. John 10:10, Jesus said, a thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. See, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. So a thief comes to what? Steal. A thief comes to steal. God forbid if you ever ran into a thief in a parking lot in your car and they say, pull out a gun. What do you want? Open your trunk. I'm giving you some trash. Just go along the journey with me. Come on, folks. It doesn't work that way, does it? A thief doesn't come to give you something you don't want. A thief comes to take what you have. Even if you're not aware of what you have. A thief comes to steal the value out of your life. So the devil doesn't show up to give you sickness. Are you listening to me? We're struggling to get a healing and afraid that he might give you a sickness. The devil's not trying to give you something you don't want. The devil's trying to take healing in life from your body. That's the problem. The problem is not he's trying to give you a sickness. The problem is that there's an absence of God's healing and health in life in your body. The devil's not trying to make you poor. The devil's trying to take God's blessing and provision out of your life. So the problem is not that you're trying to stay from poverty. Oh, I might catch that poverty. You don't catch poverty. No, no. He's trying to take the blessing and provision of God out of your life. He's trying to take the peace and joy out of your life. He's trying to take the rest and contentment out of your life. He's trying to take the stability out of your life. He's not trying to give you the negative. The negative is the reaction or the result of the positive being removed. Let me confirm that one more time if you're taking notes. Are you with me today? We know from the Bible that God is light, right? We're all on the same page, right? And we know that his kingdom is a kingdom of light. The Bible tells us that we come out of the kingdom of darkness into God's glorious light, right? Transition. The kingdom of the devil is a kingdom of darkness. He operates in darkness. God operates in light. You define darkness as the absence of light. Science does. You don't have a switch in your house called a switch to turn on the darkness. Ooh, it's too bright. Would you flip that switch and turn on the darkness? This will answer questions when people ever ask, well, did God create evil? Let me show you. All things were created by him and for him, and nothing was created or made that was made without him. God created everything. Well, what about evil? God didn't create evil. Evil's the absence of God. You wonder, why does this stuff happen in schools? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the public school system got together, had a little meeting, decided, we don't need you, God, anymore. We don't want you, God, anymore. And we invite you out the door, and we'll hold the door for you as you walk out. And then they slam it and lock it and wonder what happened. Where's God? I'll tell you, you already kicked him out. The absence of light is darkness. The absence of God is evil. When you move God out of a situation, the remaining situation is evil. But you don't turn on a switch to bring in darkness. No, you turn on a switch to bring light. Because light pushes out darkness. Are you listening? Darkness never pushes out light. So the enemy does not bring something to you. He's trying to get that light out of your life. And when he can get healing and health out of your life, what's the remaining factor? Sickness. When he tries to get the peace of God out of your life, what do you have? Turmoil. When he tries to get the joy of God out of your life, so he's trying to take from you what already belongs to you. This needs to change our perspective, because we do it like the world does it, and it puts the cart in front of the horse, and it's a struggle. See, you can do it the world system. And the world, I'm not saying if you do it the world system that you won't have money, because we see people in the world system who have a lot of money. But God said, I'll give you power to get wealth, and I'll add no sorrow to it. That's what the Bible says. See, that's not what religion says. That's what the Bible says. That's not what the church doctrine says. That's what the Bible says. I get too many Christians. I'll just go into my soapbox for 2 minutes. I get too many Christians that can tell me what their church they grew up believed in, but they don't know anything what the Bible says. It don't matter what anybody says. It's what the Bible says. Don't even take my word for it. Challenge everything with the word of God. Thank you for the three of you that believe that. So the enemy's trying to take what already belongs to you. It's in your covenant, paid for by Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And you're a child of God. That's part of your inheritance. All you have to do now is figure out what is choking that life flow from your life. That's important. And so the world system, they strive to go after it. And you can do it the world's way, but it brings misery. It brings unnecessary pressure. God will bless you and help you be successful. And God wants you to have all that stuff, as long as that stuff doesn't have you, because it becomes a platform or a billboard of God's goodness. We already looked at that. But when you strive for that stuff, you'll get messed up. A key verse, Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6. And you say, Pastor, we've already looked at this. I know, we're going to read it again and again and again. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And maybe not last time, maybe this time, there'll be a special revelation you'll get that you didn't get the last time. Come on. I've already read that verse. Read it again then. And again. And again. See, the Bible tells us to meditate on the word, which means think about it. Ponder it. Think about it. Hebrews 11, 6. Let's see if you can remember some of this. And I know you can. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek the reward. That's not what it says, but that's what we do. That's a world system. Go after the stuff. God don't mind you having stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you. Now, keep in mind, there's another ingredient. Faith without works is dead. We'll get to that later. Okay? This is not go home and sit in your easy chair and let God bring everything to your doorstep. That don't work that way. You have to get the whole recipe. Okay? But we have to get the right perspective. The right perspective is not to just make the priority to go after the stuff. That stuff is important, but that stuff is not the priority. Let me say that again. That stuff is important, but that stuff is not the priority. Never let the priority be pushed out by the important. You got to write that down. I can't spoon feed you. You better come hungry. Never let the priority be pushed out by the important. See, what we mess up is many times we mess up on how we handle the important. Let me give you an example. Money is important. Did you hear me? Money is important. It's a tool. It's a great tool, but a horrible master. Most people go to pendulum swings when it comes to the important things of life. We handle the important things of life with wisdom. That's a Bible principle. Wisdom is a key or principal thing. You handle money wisely. Now, Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other, or follow one and reject the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, mammon being money. So well, you can read that and say, well, I can't serve money. I have to serve Jesus. That's absolutely right. But if you look at your money and say, well, then I'm not going to deal with it because money's evil. No, money's not evil. The love of money is the root of evil. Stick with me. So what do I do with money? I handle it wisely. When you handle it wisely, it will help you so that you can handle what God's bringing into your life. Some people go to the other. They go one extreme of allowing money to be the God and be number one. That's wrong. Or they go to the other extreme of saying, I'll just blow it. It's no big deal. I'm serving Jesus. Money's no big deal. No, money is an important thing. In fact, any area of your life that's important, if you don't handle it wisely, you will lose it. Did you hear me? Whatever you don't handle wisely, even though it's important, you will lose it. If you don't handle money wisely, you will lose it. You will go without. If you don't handle your marriage wisely, you will lose it. If you don't handle friendships wisely, you will lose it. If you don't handle your success or your careers wisely, you will lose it. Do you see what I'm saying? If you do not handle what God brings into your life wisely, you will lose it. Faithful in the little, faithful in much. God will give you stuff to see if you will handle it wisely. Say amen. I'm helping somebody here today. The problem is not the enemy's trying to get it. Many times we don't handle wisely what God gives us. We either make it too important or we don't make it important enough. No, it's important. Say it's important. It's important. But it's not the priority. See, anything, we keep Jesus the priority. Let me say that again to make sure I'm in the right church. We keep Jesus the priority. How do I know something's a priority? When something, because important things always try to bid for the priority. And you have to have authority in your world to bring the importance to its proper place. So a lot of us will just say, oh, whatever, and God, you do whatever, and Lord, if it happened, it must come from you, and so, okay. No, that's not the way it works. God's given you authority over your important stuff because your important stuff will strive from time to time to become the priority. Friendships, relationships, money, whatever it might be. You have to make sure you keep it in check when it tries to bid for number one place. That's why giving is so important, because money wants to be master. Friendships will try to take that place. Relationships, let me just tell you, if you're single and you're dating somebody, oh, they're so wonderful, I just love them. It's important. But if that important relationship starts trying to get you to walk away from Jesus, he said, if I don't do this, and I know it's wrong, but if I don't move in with him, he'll find somebody else. Just wave bye-bye. I'm helping somebody out. I'm telling you. Wisdom is not emotional. When you are making life course decisions and you begin to look to your emotions, you're making a wrong mistake. I'm not talking about love, the emotion of love. I'm talking about wisdom. Wisdom is not emotional. And when someone says, well, if you're going to marry me, we got to try this out. And we got to live together. But I don't believe that. The Bible says adultery is wrong. I know, but what do you want? You want to follow the Bible or follow me? You ought to just pick up the Bible and say, last time I looked, there's a lot of single guys out there. And you're going to be one of my pastors. Just move on. But pastor, I don't want to be lonely anymore. If he leaves, I don't have anybody, and I want somebody to make me feel good. Let me help you out. Can I talking to your life for those who are single? If you think being married, if you're lonely and you think marriage will take care of your loneliness, you've got another thing coming. What? I'm married. I shouldn't be lonely. No, there's a lot of married people that are lonely. Do you know the problem is? They're looking to people to make them feel good about themselves. And when you go down that journey of depending and looking to people to prop you up, people who change every 20 minutes? Are you kidding me? That's like getting in a car that you have to fuel up every 10 minutes and you got a 10-hour drive. Are you kidding me? No. When you make Jesus a priority, you can be single but not lonely. You need that because two halves never make a whole. I'm just not a complete person until I get married. You know what? You'll be married and still not a complete person because completeness comes from Jesus. Come on, somebody. We put too much on humanity and somebody else. And when you start doing that, it becomes dysfunctional. Well, the boss says, I know it's not right, Pastor, but the boss says, if I don't do this, and I know it might be a little legal, and I just don't know what to do, but the boss says, if I don't do what he asked me to do, I might lose my job. And then you pray God will lead you to a better job. Don't you sell out the priority for the important. Never let the important push out the priority. Is that helping somebody? I want you to know this, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. Yeah. See, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, your father knows you need this stuff. And it's important to him too, basically. Greg Bruce translation, Matthew 6. Challenge it on your own time. Challenge it with the word. He's saying, it's important to him, but don't do it the way the world does it. Let me show you. And then he goes and says, seek first. Make what the king does a priority. How do we know what the king does? He shows us in his word. Seek the kingdom of God first. Make it a priority. And his righteousness. Then guess what? All this stuff will be added. Why? Because the king will show you how to remove the obstacles that's keeping the flow of what rightfully belongs to you. Did you hear me? Yes. Say, if it's in the vine... Come on, say, if it's in the vine, then it belongs to me as a branch. Come on, I gotta say, if it's in the vine, then it belongs to me as a branch. See, if you're a branch connected to the vine, then everything in the vine belongs to the branch. See, the reason we don't understand what's available to us is we don't know who he is. If you don't know who he is, you don't know what's available to you. Jesus said in Revelation 3, I stand at the door and I knock, and if you hear my voice, that means you have to know who he is to recognize his voice. And when you recognize his voice because you know him, you open the door and he comes in. See, he wants to come into the area of your life and bring that healing or bring that blessing or bring that peace, but you're not giving him opportunity if you don't recognize his voice. And you don't recognize his voice until you know who he is. And you won't know who he is until you begin to pursue him. James says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. See how it's all fitting together? So many pieces of this recipe, but it's coming together. Now notice this, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's go to Matthew's gospel, chapter 16, verse 15. If you're taking notes, write that down. Jesus is talking to the disciples and said, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Jesus wasn't questioning who he is. He was making sure they knew. Why? Let's see. Who do you say that I am? Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art what? The Christ. Now, hear me now. The Christ is not Jesus' last name. You don't need a revelation about your last name. Right? That comes from information. Christ, it's not Jesus Christ, it's Jesus the Christ. Christ is a position of authority. You could say it this way, thou art the Christ or thou art the Messiah, or you could say it this way, thou art the anointed one and his anointing. That's what Christ actually means, the anointed one and his anointing. Let's interpret the Bible with the Bible. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that the burden is removed and the yoke is destroyed, which means the tactics of the enemy to imprison you is destroyed because of the anointing. I can interpret from that the anointing, one thing, is the power of God. The Bible also tells us in the Old Testament, also New Testament, Jesus quotes it when he said, stood up and read from the scroll and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Do you remember this verse? Because he, the Holy Spirit, has anointed me, key word, he has anointed me to proclaim, declare, set at liberty, which means to do something. To clarify that anymore, a little more, Acts 10:38 says, Jesus, who was anointed with the Holy Ghost without measure, went about doing good, destroying the works of the devil, and healing those who are oppressed. All right, so you catch that. The anointing brings the power of God and the ability of God, and it's the presence of God because it's the anointed one and his anointing. That's a lot of information for you to digest. That's why we give you free CDs. Amen. And Simon Peter answered, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said in verse 7, unto him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, which means this is not a good idea that you heard from somebody else. This is not somebody one of the other disciples told you. This wasn't a great creative session that you had with the gang and you came up with this idea. Praise God for creative ideas. Praise God for brainstorming sessions. Praise God for counsel advice, right? But this didn't come from that. This came from heaven. Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven, it is a heavenly impartation. Say it this way. It's when the Holy Spirit makes the Word of God alive and reveals it to your heart. It's not just an idea in your head. It becomes a revelation to your heart. This is so important because you can't even get into the kingdom of God without this. Let me prove it to you. Salvation is based upon with the heart man believes and with the mouth confession is made. See the two parts? Heart revelation, mouth confession, or prayer. You can pray the sinner's prayer 5 times a day, but if you don't have a heart revelation that Jesus is alive and is a savior of your sins and can save you and forgive you, if you don't have that heart revelation, no prayer will make you saved. Because it's more than just you praying it, it's the heart revelation attached to the prayer. You see that? That's what we're talking about. How do you get that heart revelation? God revealed himself to your heart and you realize you are a sinner and he's the Savior. God, I need you and I give you my everything. Forgive me and be my Lord and Savior. Heart revelation and have the confession. Notice this. This revelation came from the Father. So now Peter has a revelation on the identity of Jesus. Well, okay, Pastor, that's good. What does that mean? How does that affect me? I'm glad you asked, because we've been trying to change the stuff around us without changing the stuff within us. And you can't change the stuff within you until you get an identity of who you are. And you can't get an identity of who you are until you start to get an identity of who he is, because he's the vine and you're the branch. If you want to know what kind of branch you are, look to the vine. I know. Beep, beep, beep. On low. This is not Sunday school. Okay. Flesh and blood is not revealed unto you by my Father, which is heaven. Verse 18. And I say unto you that thou art Peter. Petros is the Greek word, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church. He was not saying, Peter, I'm building the future New Testament church on you. That's how some people interpret it. Interpret the Bible with the Bible. Jesus had already said, anyone who hears my teachings and obeys them is like a person who builds their house on the rock. Right there, we get the interpretation of this key thought, because the rock is not a person. The rock is the revelation you receive from God and as you obey it. Amen. We got to put an applause meter up here or something. I want you to get this. Notice, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. There's something you do. There's something he does. You open the door, he comes in. There's something. What frustrates us and exhausts us is when we forget our role and his role. And when you begin to step into the role of Jesus to make stuff happen, it won't work like you're wanting it to happen. So, all right, this is the best I guess I can have. It's the best you can do. You haven't opened the door of God's possibility into that situation. Why? Because you got to step out of who you are and let him step into who he is into your world. I will build my church. He's trying to build in your life. Will you let him? Notice, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I mean, this is a good time. I'm having fun. This is the third time doing it, but I'm having fun right now. If I was you and had a smartphone, I'd be texting me some stuff right now. I've been putting on Twitter right now. That's a good phrase. I got to remember that. Come on, somebody. Hashtag got my hope. Come on, somebody. That thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. See, when you get a revelation of who he is, it changes a lot of stuff. David said it this way. The Lord is my... How would he know that God was a shepherd until he had a revelation of him being the shepherd? Now notice what happens. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not... Whoa, how do I know I won't want? Because I already got a revelation of who he is. His identity is impacting my reality. Not my Sunday reality, my reality. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Notice this, he prepares, in that same chapter, he prepares a table of provision for me in the midst. I could spend a whole time preaching just on the one. He prepares... I'm not preparing. He's preparing a table. He's setting the table of provision, what I need for me, just not for the person around me, but for me. Say for me. Notice, while my enemy, one translation says, while my enemies have to look on. Oh, I like that. I'm telling you. You got to get past the place of you got to make everybody happy and keep everybody happy and do what everybody to make everybody like you so you can get ahead. I'm telling you, that's the world system. I'm not saying as a Christian you can be rude, but I'm saying you don't have to be dysfunctionally disabled by the opinions of other people. You, even if they talk about you, like if I tell them I serve Jesus, they might try to get me out. Let them try. He prepares a table for you in the midst of your enemies. They can stay there, they can be there, but they can't do anything to stop you, because the Bible says that promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. Promotion comes from heaven. Woo, my God, my God, my God, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to make everybody like you for you to be successful. No, 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 no. You just got to be connected to the vine. And even if they're trying to stop you, they can't stop you, because the key is not them. The key, Matthew 13 says, is the word of God in your heart. They're talking about you. I don't got time to listen to what they're saying because I got something else to do. Well, don't you want to deal? No, no, no. I'll let them deal with their own issues. I got something to do. I got to come off the wall. I can't come off the wall. I'm doing something for God. I can't deal with their foolishness, their silliness. I'm telling you, you don't think that people don't get silly? Everybody can get silly at one time. And if you keep running to every fire, the devil will always make sure there's one more fire. We have allowed, and praise God for politics, get involved, change your community. But we have allowed politics into the thinking of the kingdom. And all of a sudden, we think we got to get everybody to like us. For us to get, no, you just got to stay connected to the vine, to know him, that I might know him and the power of it. Thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? We're not done yet. We got one more verse. I got 3 minutes and 36 seconds, 35 seconds, 34 seconds, but I got one more verse. Are you okay? Are you okay? Notice this, next verse. And I give unto you the keys, which means authority, right? Right? Let me break that down. When you leave here, you're going to go to your car. How do you know if it's your car? Check the key. Have you ever come out of the mall and go into the parking lot and go, wait a minute, that just looked like my car. That's just like my car. And it might be the same year, same make, same model, but only your key opens your car. Right? Jesus said, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And what you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What is he saying? I give you the authority to choose what you allow and what you do not allow. I hear somebody, it's amazing. Praise God for social network, but it gives everybody a chance to really be stupid sometimes. I'm just telling you. People can post and write some stuff. You think, really? Do they really believe that? Are they kidding? The bad stuff happened and must come from God because everything, he's all powerful. Don't you think it just comes through his hands? Let me tell you, that's foolishness. See, it gets quiet because we've been taught that in the religious world. Well, that cancer had to come through God. He allowed it. That's foolishness. Which means it's not in the Bible. That's like asking, if God can do anything, can he build a rock that he can't lift? Silliness. Foolishness. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Jesus said, I give you the authority. You have authority in your world, not in your neighbor's house. Don't be walking in and saying, nah, here. They're going, you get shot. Not everywhere, but in your world. You have influence. You have authority. And God gives you the authority to say, I'm not allowing it or it's allowed. It's not that God allowed it. God puts you in charge. And the devil works on deception. See, a lying spirit doesn't try to get you to tell a lie. It tries to get you to believe a lie. You leave the door wide open and he comes in and takes all the furniture and walks right out. See, you think it must be from God. No, you know, wisdom tells you, lock the door. In the church world, we haven't been told how to lock the door. And so the enemy's kicking our teeth in, and we think it must be from God because he's all powerful. He allowed it. No, he gave you authority. You're the one. He's not going to override you. You have the authority. We don't like that because it's easier to blame somebody else for what's not happening in our life. But he gave you authority. You can kind of relinquish that authority and say, I didn't know any better, but that doesn't help the situation. Say, I have authority. Say, I have authority. What you allow is not allowed. What you do not allow will not be allowed. Say yes to that, no to that. Does that mean you get it right all the time? No, we're all learning. Did you hear me? Where do I get that authority from? The revelation of who he is. Now, we're out of time. I only have 7, 6, 5, 4. So, but let me tell you something. Next week, I'm going to talk to you the importance of your identity. Because if you don't know who he is, you really won't know who you are. And if you don't know who you are, you are afraid to exercise your authority. A police officer can stand in a street and lift up his hand and say, stop. He physically cannot stop the car, but his authority backs him to cause that car to stop. If he did not know who he was or is in his identity, he would not be able to exercise his authority. The reason we allow the devil to steal from us is because we don't exercise authority. We don't exercise our authority because we don't know our identity. And we don't know our identity because it comes from his identity. Don't take my word for it. I'll give you scripture after scripture after scripture to show you how when you receive a revelation of who he is, it changes on who you are. And then you begin to walk out what you call to be. If you see yourself as poor, more money in your pocket will not make you rich because you'll blow it. If you see yourself as a loser, as a failure, but that's Pastor, that's what people told me my whole life. I know. Now we need to get a change of thinking. This is not mind over matter. New age stuff is garbage. It takes a little bit of God's truth and adds a lot of air to it. Cults and all that thinking is deceptive because it'll take a little bit of God's truth and add a lot of crazy air to it. Did you hear me? This is not a matter of you look onto the inside and you become your own Jesus. No, 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 no. You're not Jesus. Let me help you out. You look on the inside all you want, but if you don't see Jesus, the author and finisher, it's not right. Did you hear me? Humanism takes God out of the situation. You better be careful. This stuff is deceptive. We stick to the Word of God. And I'm telling you, when you know who you are by the Word of God based on who He is, you will begin to exercise your authority in your world. It's powerful. Let's get the whole recipe. But it will change our lives because His identity will impact your reality. Amen? Amen. Come on, we're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.